I'm doing fine, Andrew. This is Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Debbie. Thank you so much for taking the time.
I am thrilled to speak with you. I was just telling Sophie how wonderful this film is. It truly, and how much I like what Angel Studios puts out. So, seeing this, it's a win. It's a win-win for me, Andrew. But
great.
I can't believe that Dr. Wang's story has not been told before now. I really can't believe it.
I can't believe I went so long in my life not even knowing who this individual was.
Yeah. Same for me, that I had not heard of him when this film rolled my way. Because what an incredible man. What an incredible man. You have brought him to life and his story so eloquently, Andrew. You cast Terry Chen perfectly as Ming Wang.
Yeah, Terry was incredible. Great, great find for this.
And he looks a lot like him, too.
He plays the part?
Yeah, he looks a lot like Dr. Wang, too.
I love that. I think, that's down to our incredible casting gals, Kelly Roy, Morgan Robbins, Anne McCarthy. I think they uncovered some unbelievable gems in this film. And then there's Greg, of course. But
Greg goes without saying. Anything with Greg Kinnear, I'm there. Anything with Fionnuala Flanagan, my God, I have been watching her for decades. And I'm not ashamed to admit some of my favorite performances of hers were teaming up with Angela Lansbury on Murder, She Wrote. So
Amazing. No, that was a privilege. I'm with you. I'm a longtime admirer. One of my favorite films is Waking Ned Divine, and she's so good in that. And so it was a privilege to get to work with her.
And she's perfect. Her emotion, her sensitivity, her gentility really shines here as Sister Marie. And watching her with little Mia playing Kajal just melts your heart.
She truly was a gift to have, and was, by the way, just an unbelievable professional for, at the time, was probably only seven or eight years old.
Wow.
And, she's got a gift for sure. She was a consummate professional. You could give her notes on her performance, and on the next take, she would have absorbed them all and deliver them. And it is incredible to watch. And as you say, she's just the perfect casting for just the emotional core of the film of like, oh, please save her.
I was sitting there, and after her surgery is done, and we're getting to the bandage reveal, and I'm on the edge of my seat. She's going to blink her eyes, and she's going to see Dr. Wang in front of her. And when she doesn't, oh my God, it's like crestfallen is how you feel. Just brokenhearted. Mia is just, and the way that she doesn't cry, that she's so stoic in that moment. And it's just like, wow, she's got great things ahead of her. And I hope that you cast her in something again.
Absolutely. No, I think that, you know, as they say, you know, animals and kids are a big red flag and no go for filmmaking. But, every single young actor and actress in that film was not only talented, but just incredible to work with. And we really did luck out on that front.
And you look at Jaden Zhang, who played 8-year-old Ming. That kid, just, the camera loves him, and he lights up the screen. My God, Andrew.
He was incredible, and we had just come off of the Shang-Chi film for Marvel, and so he was coming out with, again, just an incredible experience, even at that age, of knowing his way around the set and the camera, and and you know, dialogue and all the things. So, you know, again, a fantastic find for sure.
And you paired him up perfectly. Here again, kudos on the casting. Paired him up perfectly with Keanu Lowell, who played young Lily. And watching the two of them as Ming's father is trying to take care of Lily's grandfather and help him, and the way that Jaden just takes his hand and just slides Lily's hand into his was just like, oh, you got every emotional beat possible in this film, Andrew.
Well, as you can imagine, it wasn't difficult with all the incredible events that Ming lived through and persevered through, and just incredible. You know, it was more about trying to capture it and honor it in a way that felt authentic and real, and certainly, you know, something that as I've come to learn personally, obviously Ming knew very well, but that this story is, it's not a one-off at all. You know, this is a very similar story for thousands and thousands, if not millions, of Chinese Americans in this country. We've been screening it around the country the last couple months to that audience, and it's incredible how many people come up and say, this is what happened to me. This is almost identical.
Wow.
So it feels like a little bit of a responsibility to capture the authenticity and the time period and the events in a way that it's not just Ming's story. It this truly is the story for so many people that they feel proud, right, that this is going to be on the from Angel Studios, you know, on Memorial Day weekend of all things.
Yeah.
Incredible. That we can say, I just hope that audience is proud and they champion it, and it's because it's their story.
One of the great things also is you transcend that. So it has a universal language of the triumph of human spirit. And that no one can look away from that. So you've got the Chinese, the Asian immigrants that are being portrayed on screen that have come through so much over the decades. Those that were in China, the hardships that were there, the tortures they endured, they now have a face on the screen, a story of their own, but also it's the human spirit that comes through, that speaks to everybody. And that, I think, is just so incredible that you didn't pigeonhole yourself. You really have captured a very, very broad spectrum emotionally. And I love that, because this is a story that needs to be told.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because that was, you know, that's exactly the point of the film, you know, beyond telling Ming's story. And what Ming is hoping comes out of the story, Dr. Wong is hoping comes out of the story, because it's like you said, it truly is relatable. You know, you kind of think, well, I didn't go through those things, so and you know, it's different culture to mine. How is this going to be relatable to me? But you're spot on in that, because it's the human condition and the human journey and the human spirit, as you say, it translates into every culture, into every language, because it's who we are. We're all connected, and we are all on this human journey together. And you're right, Ming's story. Okay. This is identical to mine. I didn't go through these things, but everybody has a past. Everybody has trials and tribulations and obstacles and things they have to get over. And to watch how Ming accomplishes what he accomplished, it's inspiring. And it doesn't matter that where you're from or where you're going. You're right. You feel it. You feel like, wow, okay, maybe I can do this, or maybe, you know, not be an eye surgeon, I'd be on your list before of malpractice, but, you know, I can face whatever's in my life, and I can, you know, whatever trial's in front of me now, look what this guy did, I can do that, I can, you know. One of the other things we talk about is your giftings, right? You know, Ming has this incredible intelligence and gifting that not many have. providing free surgeries around the world for orphans. Like, yeah. That's incredible. And so what do we all have? Because everybody has something, right, that they're gifted at, that they're passionate about. And I love the challenge that you kind of leave the film, at least I did, after making it, spending time with Ming, of like, there's probably more I could do to help others and to help the world.
Mm-hmm. You definitely walk away from this feeling that, without a doubt, Andrew. Curious for you, once you heard about Ming's story and you decided to tackle this along with your co-writers and come up with a script, how did you break this down to tell this story cinematically? You effortlessly go between past and present and different eras in the past, political eras of what was happening in China at the time, be it at the beginning when Ming was very little and what was happening then to his parents and not having money. And it's like your heart is breaking when he's hungry and he wants more rice. And there just isn't any. And his parents are doctors working in a university. And you really see and get a better understanding. But you take us back there. Then you take us, you know, back into the present. We always have these touchstones in the present that take Ming back in his memories. And I love how you transition that. So I'm curious how you approach this, breaking it down cinematically.
Yeah, well, I have to give credit Ming himself and to David Fisher. These were the two of them, you know, truly put their heart, soul, and minds on this for almost a decade, before I came on board. And they had done so much sort of, they call it ideation. I don't know if that's a trademark or what, but I'm just going to use what they use. They had done so much ideation on Ming's story that they kind of knew all of the stuff you're talking about pretty backwards and forwards. And, mm-hmm. and Ming, being as meticulous as he is, which is a trait of his, I'm sure, as an eye surgeon, he had kind of developed this entire, you know, almost color-coded system of, okay, this theme goes with, ties into this, and he came up with almost this incredible kind of, you know, think of it as a chart, like a flow chart. So it actually made my job a lot easier, because what I would do is just keep an eye on that as I was writing, and then I, you know, instinctually or you know, just structurally, I felt like, okay, I think it's time to go back to the past, or I think it's time to go this. I would almost use it as like a cheat sheet, where I would say, okay, here we are in the present timeline. What's the emotional journey? Where are we at here? And then I would look at kind of Ming's sort of explanation of his life and say, oh, okay, so when we go back to the past, you know, we need to go back to this moment, because that ties into this theme. So I don't want to say it was scientific, but knowing Ming, it was absolutely scientific. And the way his brain works, you know, he could probably, he'd give AI, you know, algorithms a little bit of a run for their money, I would imagine.
Oh my gosh. Once you have that broken out, then you team up with Michael Balfrey. I am a fan of his work in TV movies. I have seen so many of the ones he's done, as well as a few episodes of When Calls the Heart. He has a great eye, and he loves light in his films, the use of light. And that's very important in a film like Sight. The idea of light and big windows and well-lit rooms. Talk to me about coming and contrasting that with China when Ming was a little boy, which was very umbery and dark.
I'm glad you picked up on that, because that's certainly sort of the contrast of kind of being able to, you know, show the light, show kind of where Ming arrived and what he's achieved and all that, and then cutting back to, you know, obviously a darker time in his life and one that lacks a lot of that and feels a little bit more kind of you know, I don't want to say kind of like prison-like, but there is a bit of that sensibility of like, man, everything kind of feels closed in, and there's not a lot of freedom and all these things, right, that subtly there. But Michael did an incredible job. Michael Balfrey did an incredible job. And I think my favorite kind of collaboration with him was in the flashbacks, because I, you know, it kind of opens up a world that I don't think many of our audience will be familiar with.
Yeah.
And I love when a cinematographer can kind of capture a time and a place in a way that just feels like it transports you and you're there. And I think he did an incredible job with that.
Absolutely beautiful. And with those flashbacks, particularly to 8-year-old Ming, kudos to Chris August. I'm a fan of Chris August anyway. What he did for Fat Man, I love his production design. And I love what he did here in creating the past. Similarly, with Misha and Ming's incredible lab that the two of them have, which, and again, this is a great marriage of Chris's work and Michael's work with the lightness, the brightness, the white on white, the GE white light that lights it up. And everything is so transparent with their whiteboards and their transparent boards. So it's Chris's work is beautiful, beautiful, and Michael showcases it perfectly.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Chris as well, and you know, and this was not without challenges. You know, we were shooting during COVID up in Vancouver, and there were a lot of just places that were just not available, because of that. And so Chris really had to kind of come in and work some miracles at times with just certain spaces that had nothing. And, you know, he built that whole lab with his team from you know, first nail up. And I think they did an incredible job. I mean, there was nothing there. It was an empty warehouse. And they managed to create a space that feels like I'm in an office space. I'm in a lab. I'm in a, you know, so it was amazing to kind of watch them use their gifts and talents in that way. And you know, and then to recreate some bits of China,
yeah,
you know, in Vancouver, it was awesome to watch. And I think, you know, again, watching him collaborate with Ming himself about little details that, you know, it doesn't matter how great of a production designer you are, you just wouldn't know. You didn't live in China in the 1960s. And to have Ming there to say, well, we wouldn't have used those buttons on the thing, or we wouldn't, you know, that piece of furniture wouldn't have existed. We wouldn't have been able to afford it. Or what about this? And there was this on the wall in my house. I mean, that's just unbelievably invaluable stuff to make this as real as possible.
You know, and then you get all the footage in the can and you put it into the very capable hands of Dan O'Brien, who, God, I'll watch anything that Dan cuts. He just, and these small films, these indie films, in his hands, they sparkle. And this sparkles as we seamlessly go between past and present. There is nothing, no jarring cuts. Everything is seamless. The pacing is so well done. You and Dan together working, editing this, I got to tell you, you keep us on tenterhooks where we need to be. We are filled with ebullience when a miracle occurs. And it's just so well paced. You keep us engaged and interested in the characters, in what is transpiring. I love the editing on this, the end result with the pace and that seamlessness of past and present. How tricky was that for the two of you?
Well, extremely tricky and extremely difficult. And yes, was a joy to work with Dan and collaborate on it. And I'll also have to throw out a massive thank you to Angel Studios, who have been incredible through the process, because they were really the ones that continued to push us to get that pacing right, to get those, you know, the film at the right time that didn't feel too short or not too long. And they were the ones that really encouraged us to kind of relook at some choices we had made, you know, kind of in the moment, and you know, just it was an incredible partnership. So I do have to say to them, like, kudos to them, because they've been a part just really walking with us and helping myself and Dan and David and Ming and all of us just get this film to what we all felt like this is great. It's time to go. It's time to put this out to the world, and we'll see what happens. But just been a wonderful journey, and I think it's a great film, and I'm just excited for people to see it coming up here in Memorial Day weekend.
And you have another piece, like the icing on the cake with this film, and that is Sean Johnson's beautiful score. It's quiet. There is a reverence to it. It is emotional, and the score, and I love the Asian influences of the instrumentation that he brings into the scoring, so we never lose that. But the emotion, it matches the emotional beats of the story. What were you looking for from Sean musically? Because it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I thank you for mentioning him. I love Sean. He is a dear, dear friend. This is our fourth film we've collaborated on, and so we have a shorthand together. And when we kind of go early into these things and explore, it's such a wonderful process. And he is just such a talented guy. I think he's up there with some of the best in their field. And I'm excited that, you know, not only is he doing our film, but he's doing the Sound of Hope, you know, Possum Trot film he composed as well. He's coming out from Angel Studios in July. And I think that, when we first sat down with this, it really was as simple as you just said. You nailed it. It's how do we make a modern feeling score with a traditional Asian influence?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that? And I left it in Sean's hands, and he found this incredible woman who plays the erhu, the traditional, kind of ancient, Chinese instrument, to kind of back some of those tracks with a bit of a more modern tonal thing, and
mm-hmm.
and he just made it all work, and don't ask me how, but he did it, and it's incredible. I'm with you.
I mean, it really is just beautiful, but it's that bit, it's the quiet reverence that really speaks. It speaks to the importance of what Ming Wang does and has done with his life. And
wow, he's gonna love that, because we had explored a more orchestral sweeping score, and Sean just kept saying, there's just something in me that needs to be a little quieter.
Yeah,
it just needs to be present, but not try to be this epic sweeping thing that takes over the film. And so what you just said, he's gonna love that.
Yeah. Sean was spot on, because a full orchestral scoring, it would have just overpowered the story.
That's right.
And the beauty and simplicity of the story, because at its heart, it's a simple story about a man who never lost sight of his own vision.
There you go. That's the poster.
Well, make sure you tell them. But this really is what it boils down to. It was always his vision from small on to be a doctor. And as we see unfold, he knew whether he knew exactly what his specialty would be. We see it as we watch the film unfold with Lily's grandfather. And right there, in that moment, that got put into Ming's mind that would end up being his medical specialty. But it is. It is the vision of a man. And it's that simple. He followed.
And it's incredible that all of it is true, which is, always blows me away. Everything that people are going to see in the film that happened, and it's incredible.
So now, one last question for you, Andrew. I love talking to you about this film. You're so passionate about it, and I love that. But one last question for you. I'm really curious, what did you take away personally and as a filmmaker in making this film, in making Sight, that you can now take forward, be it in life or into your future film work?
Wow. Fantastic question. You know, this film, it is strange, and for your audience to kind of understand, you know, this film is personal to me in a particular way. My great-grandfather took his family from Baghdad, Iraq. They were Iraqi Jews, and actually immigrated to Shanghai. And so my grandmother was the youngest of four sisters, and so she was born in Shanghai and grew up there until the Japanese occupation before they had to flee. So I grew up with sort of very much this cultural kind of experience that she went through, and it was kind of all over her, you know, house. You know, she had all the furniture, she had all the, you know, she spoke Mandarin, she had all these things, and so I always had this something in my heart that wanted to tell her story and her sister's stories, because it's an incredible story as well. And so being able to be involved in Sight and Ming's story, it kind of resonated personally for myself and my grandmother's passed now, but my mother as well. This film to me had this kind of, in a way that I don't think I felt on any other films I've done, you know, I felt like it was a part of me in a way too, because I got to experience sharing a little bit of that journey and all that. And so I think what I would love for people to take away, or what I personally have taken away, is just thinking of all the stories out there in the world, even right now, of people going through these hardships and trials, and whether they're on the level of Ming's, or it's just people struggling to pay bills right now in this country. I hope they take away what I've taken away, which is this renewed sense of hope, this renewed sense of being inspired that there's something deep in all of us that has been put there, that we can overcome these obstacles, we can overcome things in our lives. You know, we need each other. We need to find like common ground between all of us, no matter what your background or culture or this, because we're all, you know, as Ming likes to say, we're all on this tiny little rock together called Earth, and we all are on the same, you know, human journey, and if we can all just look at each other that way, instead of putting all these divisions and all these things between us, we might actually find that we're all like very relatable. And wait, you think you're just like me, and I'm just like you. We may have differences here and there, of course, but I think that if the audience leaves feeling two points, if the audience feels one, just inspired to go back into life with this renewed sense of hope and encouragement, and I can do the things I didn't think I could do, and I want to use those gifts to help others, that would be huge. Number two, I think that if you can leave this film with a, like you talked about at the beginning, a renewed understanding of a culture that, okay, I didn't know anything about Dr. Wong. I didn't know anything about Ming. I didn't know much about this situation. But now I have an empathy and an understanding that I didn't have before, so that when I encounter someone next time on the street, maybe I'll think a little bit differently. Maybe I'll say, you know what, I don't know what that person's going through, but it could be really tough. So maybe I'll be a little kinder. Maybe I'll be a little more generous. But I think that if, you know, those are the things that I've taken from this, and if that's kind of what this audience takes in a couple weeks here, I would love to kind of watch how that unfolds in the world.
Well, one thing is for certain, Andrew, you have a great gift for storytelling, and it's that gift that you are able to tell stories like this for people. So you're putting your gift to use.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Debbie.
Andrew, this has been so wonderful speaking with you about Sight. I hope we get to talk again in the future.
Absolutely. That, I would love that.
You have to get to work on another film so we can do that.
I can't wait to be able to share the next one.
Oh, Andrew, thank you so much.